Well, welcome everybody to the podcast Learn Biz, all about small business learning. We made this shift just recently, so we're still going through the rebranding of this. And part of this shift is not just a rebrand of the name, it's also a rebrand of the direction that we want to go with this. So the podcast used to be a lot more freeform, used to be us kind of having a little bit of a discussion. And I met with Ethan. We had a discussion about this, and we really want to take some research topics and come back with some information on that. Only you didn't fully understand what I was hoping for. This is our first time trying
to air the dirty laundry.
This isn't dirty laundry. This is funny. So in my mind, you were going to get the research, share it with me ahead of time so that I could review what you had researched so that we were both on the same page. In your mind, I was going to do research of my own.
I wanted it to be a surprise.
So my excuse is that I did have to do a live training since we last recorded, and I actually put my focus on. So if you want to talk about that, that was a financial training, and if you want to talk about some of the things that you need for finance, I'm ready to go for that one.
No, today we're going to talk about, I don't want to say new technologies, but I want to talk about technologies that managers, business owners at least need to put on their radar.
Okay.
Right? So, because, you know, I have a list and some informal lists as well that these are things that are trending, things that we need to pay attention to, but I don't want the listeners to all of a sudden go, okay, great, I got to start doing all this stuff. No, when it's said and done, take one of those areas and start to implement it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then work through the next one, and then work through the next one, because it's going to be a challenge if you try to do them all at once. And you understand that once we start crunching through the list.
Well, when we first talked about this, I specifically asked, well, this is the thought that came to my mind. Back when I was first getting into business, there were a couple things that every business owner, entrepreneur really had to be familiar with. And you look at Excel spreadsheets. That was
right. Oh yeah.
That was you have to have PowerPoint. In fact, the whole Microsoft Office suite was a real powerhouse. It's still dominant, but it's not as much of a powerhouse.
You know, it's interesting because they're common enough a place now that I didn't put them on the list, but I would still make an argument probably on my secondary list of just other ones that if you don't know, you probably ought to be versed in. Excel is still there.
It still is. It should be used all the time. But I mean, there's some stuff I'm sure didn't make I haven't seen the list yet, so, you know. But I don't think that knowing how to use voicemail made the list. But yet you need to know how to use voicemail. So this is not we're going to teach you the fundamentals of technology. This is saying, as an entrepreneur, what are the trends you need to be looking at? Where do you need to be comfortable and familiar? So with that, since I don't know what we're doing.
Let me throw out the common ones, because there's a couple that when you first say technology, there's some that you just go, okay, they come to the mind, like AI, right?
Yeah.
Okay, AI is going to be on that list. You know it is. But I want to talk about it.
He meant to say AI.
What did I say? IA?
Yeah.
AI. Sorry. Thanks for catching that.
Anyway, AI going to be on the list. Everyone's talking about it.
My high school education kicked in. But AI, because artificial intelligence is not going away. It's just not. And in some industries, it's been more prevalent. Like, well, a common one that we all deal with every day of our life is insurance. It's really helped in that area a lot to clean things up.
AI has helped with insurance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting.
Not surprised. I just didn't know.
Yeah. So I think you're going to find it in some industries. It is going to be more dominant, and you're going to see it more. But I want to take probably I'd dump some of this back to you to say, because in the rebranding from marketing management and money to Learn Biz. Mm-hmm. You've used AI.
So I did. I used a lot of AI for the listeners, for the audience. So I did my logo via AI. One of my colleagues that I network with, I was talking to him about the rebrand. He's like, oh yeah, use AI for your logo. And I used it. It was a fabulous experience. Very seamless, very smooth. I have been using AI to wordsmith a lot of things. So we do this podcast and I really enjoy the podcast. I hate writing up the descriptions for it. And so I've started using AI to write the descriptions for the podcast. I use AI for some of the video editing that I do. So I've been using AI. I think, and I'm talking from my personal experience here. When I started getting into AI, AI on one hand did more than I thought it was capable of doing. On the other hand, did a lot less than I thought it would do.
Well, and that's exactly the point I wanted to bring up. And that hits it perfectly. And that is, AI is not going away, but it has limitations. Mm-hmm. And everyone is trying to jump on the bandwagon that, hey, I need to be part of this one and I need to learn it. Well, learn it for what you need it to be. And for the majority of small business owners, it's going to be document creation, mm-hmm. right? To simplify it, make it faster. So you're not spending 2 hours creating it yourself. Artificial intelligence can do that very fast. It has all kinds of templates. But here's what's interesting. If you want to use it for market research, it's not so good.
Yeah. I've tried just in experimentation. Mm-hmm. I put in a couple queries and it comes back with, well, good market research consists of reports and data analysis. And it gives me some really cheesy tips.
And most generators take data from 2 years or older. So you don't find more current information. Mm-hmm. So if the topic is generic, it usually provides good enough. But if you need something that, hey, look, I need to know what was done in the last census 6 months ago, you may have to go dig that up yourself.
So to me, AI, and this is just speaking for LearnBiz and how I've been using LearnBiz using AI in LearnBiz. Okay. To me, AI is the equivalent of having a college intern that doesn't understand my business at any level of depth. So I put college intern because it's intelligent, but it doesn't have industry knowledge. It doesn't know my business. And so some stuff that comes back, I'm really impressed. I'm like, this is great. It saves time. It saved money on some things that I would have had to outsource with more expensive options. But I'm going to limit it to about college intern level. Someone who's working 10 hours a week, doesn't know the ins and outs of the industry, and that's kind of how I look at it.
So I don't want to go down the pathway, because, I mean, we could spend a whole episode just on this topic alone. But anyways, know that it exists. It's out there. You need to pay attention to it. And there's some good free documents out there that will teach you how to use it in keywords and other things that if you're
just play around with
on those generators to do it. Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay, so the next one that is out there that is not going away, even though I don't know how it's going to mature for everybody. This is kind of the wild card for me, the dark horse, and that is, and I'm going to put all of these into the same category. So you have virtual reality, augmented reality, and extended reality. And depending on who you talk to, depends on what they use. And there is slight nuances they try to sell on it. But I'm going to put them all in the same category, that virtual reality, augmented reality type thing. I personally think that for most businesses, it's going to really help them with training.
Okay.
I think there's other things you can do for customer experiences because augmented reality is starting like in the home realty, home marker, home buyer's market. Got to get all those words in order straight.
Okay.
That I can go in and virtually see that house, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to go to the house to see it. I can do that online now. So I think that is a good way that it's going to do it. But also glasses. If you've been to, I'm not going to list some of the sites, but if you're going to buy glasses online, now they have the generators that now I can actually, it will take my face, put the glass on it. I can turn, I can see exactly what the glasses are going to look like, right? Mm-hmm. So it's augmenting that reality. So I have a better idea what it's going to look. Is that the style that I like, the color that I like? So I think on the customer service, and helping you have a better experience for you by the product is going to be good. And I think specifically on training, it's kind of already there with training. I think it's only going to get better.
So I don't know that I have any comments on that because I don't use it and I've never used it for my business. There's a little arcade that has a VR headset that I can play games at, and I took my wife there. Not qualified to do a podcast episode on this.
I'll share a funny story, and it's not business related, but so I was doing a VR set recently, and it was kind of nice because it was the most realistic that I had been. The graphics weren't, but the actions of everything were pretty realistic. And anyways, as part of it, that it recognizes whether you're standing up, kneeling down, or whatever else. So in order to pick something up, I literally had to bend over, right? Or I could kneel down and it crouched and things like that. Sure. So I'm crouched down by a wall, a virtual wall, right, to pick up some stuff. And as I crouched down, I didn't lose my balance, but I kind of shifted a little bit. And I thought, oh, there's a wall right here, right? And I go to lean on the wall, but there was no, it was a virtual wall. Boom. I was over on my side. It was horrible. And my family is just in stitches laughing at me. So it can, for training and other things, I think it's certainly going to be amazing.
You did spark my memory. I did go to a trade show. They were talking about up and coming technologies, and they showed virtual reality for assembly line work. It was quite fascinating because it had it to where if I didn't grab the correct nuts and bolts to assemble the widget, then it would give me an error on the screen. And so it knew if the assembly line was happening correctly. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, and the training modules are, I mean, that's a, I really like that one on this continue balance. The training modules are so good now. They can see your hands that you literally when you grab that virtual item in this one, you actually have to twist.
Yes.
If you don't do the twisting motion, you're failed, right?
Yeah.
So the training wise, I really think it's going to do a lot into the future and be cheaper overall for companies to train employees faster.
You look at quality control, and quality control is usually done after the fact. This is a continuous quality control. So it's checking to make sure that you are tightening the bolt correctly. You think about over tightening and those types of issues, and it's tracking for that through the process as opposed to current quality control. Typically you do a sampling of it and so some cool things.
So there. Manufacturing, assembling, some health service type stuff. So in some of your industries, I think there's great opportunity there, and you ought to explore it if you're not currently doing it. I think it could be beneficial. Okay. Next one. This one's a little bit more simpler, even though at some level, you know, it's going to depend on the size of your company and your client engagement, and that is digital employees, i.e. chatbots.
Oh, you're like bringing up everything that I hate, but yes. I'm old enough to hate it.
Yeah.
I'm going to deviate for just a second.
All right.
I was talking to my teenage sons, and I was talking about all of the encroachment on privacy.
Yeah.
And it really blew my mind that to them, it was not an encroachment on privacy. It was an augmentation of quality of life.
Yeah.
And I realized that generational gap of me growing up saying, stay out of my business. I don't want to put everything online. I want my life to be very private.
Yeah.
And they look at it and they say, so the specific example was using a GPS system. And I was making the argument that I hate that it knows everywhere that I go. And they say, well, by knowing where I go, it's going to tell me where I should be. It's got all these save locations.
Well, you know, I hope you know this, because I think it's becoming common knowledge now that tracking cell phone signals is how Google and...
Does traffic.
Yeah, it does traffic.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They're tracking signals and how fast the signals are moving.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's how they do the lines at amusement parks now.
They probably could.
Because they used to just put people in, like they would put workers in the lines and they would just kind of mark checkpoints.
The technology's there. They could. Well, I do know that Disney, those little bracelets that you buy.
Apparently haven't been for a while.
Yeah. Anyways, you can buy little bracelets at Disney that allow you fast passes.
And sure, things, yeah.
Information on it. They use those to help track it. There's enough people that have them that it's accurate enough that they can track it.
And to me, that's an encroachment on privacy. Mm-hmm. And to my kids, that's a convenience.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anyway.
So chatbots, computer-assisted assistants that are, when people are calling in, to initially do a lot of that superficial concern resolution so that, you know, they can work through those problems and, yeah, and probably get them through it before they actually have to talk to a live person.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of companies are using it. I think there's going
to
be value.
So you're suggesting that small businesses should start to implement those a lot more?
Depending on the size of your customer base.
Sure, yeah. So for me, I do very customized trainings, and I don't deal
with
a ton of customer inquiries, and I like to have that personal interaction because I do tailor my trainings to the needs of whatever they're looking at.
But if I have a 1,000 plus more customers, and I'm doing a
subscription base.
Yeah, and I'm doing 100 plus transactions a day.
Yeah. Yeah,
I want to have something like that.
Well, and it's interesting. So now that I'm thinking about it, my e-learning platform, I don't interact with people. But it's the, so I use JazzJune and they do all the chatbots.
Right, right.
So I am using a chatbot and I didn't realize it. I just am doing it indirectly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So shifting, and this is going to be more industry specific, but... I think it's going to bridge others, and that's just robotics. So dominantly manufacturing, yep. but I'm seeing robotics in small machine shops, welding shops, which aren't what I would put hardcore manufacturing, even though they have tentacles.
Surgeons. That one's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So the health industry is using robots. So robots aren't going to go away, and now they're bridging into other categories and industries, and I think it's going to be cool to watch.
But I want to point this out. So you said that this is industry specific. However, who would have thought surgery for robotics? When you think of manufacturing, we've been seeing that on, you know, the little arm. That's been going on for decades. So everyone kind of expects that industry, but... I would say, as a small business, what are some industries that you could be thinking about adding this technology? And it doesn't have to be robotics, but don't limit yourself and say, maybe there is a way that I could add robotics into what I do. If there's ever anything that is repeatable, a repeatable motion, it's a good candidate. So look at it, consider it.
And a lot of robotics are not that expensive. Mm-hmm. The trick from my perspective, put it on the table there, is if you're going to go into robotics, you've got to learn basic commands and programming.
Or use AI to do that.
Or use AI to do that, which it will do. Like. Yeah. So, you know, the XY access and things like that, I still would encourage you to learn it so that you can problem solve if there is one. But that's... For most people, it's not actually acquiring the robots because they're becoming more and more affordable. It's the fact that you need to be able to understand the programming side of it. And it's not, honestly, it's not that complex.
Okay. I want to go back to my kids and a total generation gap here. And I keep bringing up these generation gaps because who owns the businesses today? My generation.
Yeah.
Who are the customers? The younger generation. Right. So we need to understand these differences. Yeah. My son told me, when he goes to a restaurant, he would rather not interact with someone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so if he can get his food without having to interact with someone, that is a perk, and he would rather go to that restaurant than have to go to a restaurant where he has to interact with a human being. I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah, I'm the opposite.
I hate going to the grocery store and having self-checkout. I want to sit there and be like, how's your day today? My day's good. How's your day?
Oh, my goodness.
And so to him, that's a waste of time. And he told me, he's like, why do I want to have a conversation with someone I'll never see again?
Because it's good for your human interaction.
Well, there was the sanity. Father in me that came out. But to his point, he would rather focus on... He's a very social child.
So he's not introverted?
No, he's not. Okay. He's got a solid friend group, and he doesn't mind going up to strangers and asking questions, and he's got some natural leadership. So it's not... Because a lot of people could be, oh, well, he's socially awkward.
He just doesn't value the interaction.
He doesn't value the interaction. And he says, why do I need that? It's superficial. They're going to say the same thing. And so I would just as soon type it in on my phone, show up, have my food, pick it up, sit down. And so... Okay. As a business, as you're looking at these things and saying, why would I want to introduce robotics? Well, you're a restaurant. Introduce robotics. There's a place for it.
That could be true. All right. We'll have to watch that one. See how that. All right. Probably the last couple ones. This one's been around for a while. I still think that it gets highly ignored, and that is cybersecurity.
Oh, we do a whole episode on that.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to probably...
In fact, callback, I did do an interview on that about a month ago.
Okay.
And so...
So we can reference that in the...
Yeah, if you guys want to check out that interview that we did just a month ago that does talk about cybersecurity and how to navigate that as a small business. But go ahead.
So we can put the link down in the...
In the description. Absolutely.
Okay. So the reality of it is I don't want to go into it with a whole lot of detail. I heard an analogy the other day that has kind of stuck with me. That's the best one I've heard about cybersecurity yet, and that is treat cybersecurity like a toothbrush. Replace it every 6 months, right?
Oh, okay.
Your passwords, things like that, right?
I thought you were going to say treat it like a toothbrush. Don't share.
Well, that's another one, right? You don't share your toothbrush, and you replace it every 6 months, right?
Okay.
So that's actually I'm glad you reminded me, because those were the two points that author had shared, is that cybersecurity, if you'll do those two things, you'll mitigate the majority of the problems that you'll have.
And you've already been hit. You've already been attacked. If you have an email, you've already been attacked. Oh, yeah. Most of those attacks are pretty benign. They're harmless, but they're phishing. They call it phishing for a reason. And so, it's out there. It's real.
So the other ones, and this is kind of on my secondary list, so I'm just going to kind of go through them real quick, would be a phone.
Okay.
I think this technology is still underutilized as a business tool. That phones, smartphones, when they first came out, we used them for more of a tool. And I think as a society and overall, we've reverted back to just being a communication tool again, text, answering phone calls, checking emails, more communication versus actually using it as a tool. Yeah. So I'd put that back out there. If you're not using your phone, for example, there's a term out there now called the Internet of Things.
Yeah.
Okay. Your phone should be, if it's done right, the Internet of Things basically just means my phone is connected to pretty much everything because of the internet that I personally touch, right? Computers, dishwashers, fridges, my stove. I mean, it's just anything that you, my lights, okay? We do it in your houses, but how often do we do that in your work locations? It's less, significantly less.
Yeah, it's interesting. I travel a lot for work, and I used to always bring a laptop, and I've now gone to just my phone, and I've set up my phone so that I can do all of my work on my phone.
Yeah, so good. And that's what I encourage most people. Use your phone more than what you're doing currently for something that's work-related. There's a lot of power in these. I mean, this phone is probably more powerful than my computer was even 10 years ago.
Oh, I guarantee. Yeah.
It's the technology is just amazing. These are just mobile computers. Too often we treat them just like a communication device instead of for what they really can do.
Yeah.
Another one is social media. I don't want to beat this one, but I put out there that social media it's been around long enough now that we understand it. And I think that society, we understand that, look, the social media as defined, the little 2-minute blurbs on TikTok and things like that, we understand that, look, there's no value in those. I can't actually learn something from that, that it's the longer YouTube videos and other things that where I'm going to find more value and educational things like that. So I don't want to get rid of social media, but I do want to make sure people recognize that if you're still excited about social media, use it for teasers and to encourage someone to go see something more in depth. Don't think that the shorter social media that's really prevalent right now has educational and informational value.
Yeah.
It's not, they're just teasers in my opinion.
Yeah.
The last one is remote work. And I know that it's not necessarily a technology, but there's a lot of technology that's tied around it. And we have a lot of hybrid / remote workers that are going to be using that technology. And so if you as a company are going to have that as part of your work base, then I think you need to make sure that the technology associated with them to be productive is as a company, you're helping bear that so that those employees can be have the tools that they need to be successful.
I'm honestly surprised that you can't put that in your secondary list. Just because I personally think that the day is coming, or in some industries is already here, that if you don't offer some form of remote flexibility, you will not be able to attract talent.
And especially on those higher pay scales.
Yeah. It's just understood and accepted that people want to have flexibility. And we did an episode a few months back where amongst all generations, so they broke the study into 3 generational gaps, and amongst all generations, flexibility ranked in the top 3 of what people wanted. And so if it's a younger generation, they want flexibility because they want that hip, cool, this is my job, right. Quality of life thing. You get into close to retirement, they need flexibility because of medical reasons. They need flexibility because of travel. They need flexibility because of family. You get in that mid stage, they're very busy. They've got kids, family obligations, going to school. And so there's a lot of things happening. Everyone wants that flexibility. So the remote work really is a big thing. And I guess, and this is kind of where I'm gonna tie up my thoughts on this episode, is to say, these things, we're kind of pointing them out, and I ask you to do some research on what are some of the top things, and we're pointing them out to say, hey, you need to be aware of every single one of these. Maybe some are going to hit directly, some are going to hit indirectly, but you're not immune from any of these. And if you're not understanding the role that these have in your company, then you're falling behind, and you need to stay current with trends, technologies, yes, aptitudes. Yes. I would look at every single one and I would say, what's our plan in our company? How are we using this? How do we plan to use this? Don't ignore it. That's the big thing.
Right. My closing remark would be one that I said in the beginning, and that is, don't try to do them all at once. Pick one. Mm-hmm. And start to work on implementing that into your organization, the one that seems to be the low-hanging fruit.
Sure.
So that it can have the most impact on our business. And then from there, implement others that make sense for your organization.
Yeah. Sounds great. Well, since you did most of the talking, I will close it out. Perfect. Thank you for joining us. This is Learn Biz. It is the Small Business Growth Podcast. Thank you for being with us. If you like our content, you can find us on jazzjune.com/learnbiz. That's where all of our e-learning is. Check us out on YouTube for additional trainings and content. And we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us, Ryan@learnbiz.co. or you can go to ethan@learnbiz.co. So check us out. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you, and take care.
Thanks.